Welcome to The Rink, your weekly source for hockey talk without the entitlement. I'm James Tapelake-Graylian. This week, I get to talk to Eddie Garcia of the Puck Podcast. Eddie answers all my questions about the LA Kings, and we get to talk a little bit about the Coyotes as well. Stay tuned for The Rink. So I'm lucky, I feel, a little honored to have this guest, you know, have you on, Eddie. Eddie Garcia from the Puck Podcast at www.puckpodcast.com. Eddie, you work for Fox Sports Radio Networks. You're an update anchor out of L.A., that's correct?
That's correct.
And you've had the Puck Podcast going for 3 years now. I just heard your three-year anniversary show. And it's a great podcast. It's one of the first that I was listening to when I first started my podcast. And I got to say, I didn't listen to it at first because I was a little intimidated because you guys sound so good. And you're, you know, an actual honest, you know, broadcaster as opposed to chumps like me and Tom just trying to squeak by. So it's a great, great podcast. I want to talk to you a little bit more about it in a moment. But I thought we'd start off a little bit with your favorite team, the LA Kings. You've been a Kings fan since, is it 93, since the Stanley Cup Finals appearance?
Yeah, that was the first time I really considered myself kind of a hardcore hockey fan. Before that, I was probably a casual fan. But around that time, it was kind of a little bit of a perfect storm of things happening that really sucked me into being a hockey fan. My roommate at the time in college was a big hockey fan, and he played roller hockey with all of his buddies on the tennis courts at the local high school all the time. And, you know, being a guy who loved playing sports and obviously lived and died, you know, with watching sports, and everybody was a sports nut like a lot of young men are. I went out and watched him play one time, and I just said, wow, this looks like so much fun. So I was never a skater or anything like that. I played all kinds of sports, but I just, you know, was never into that. You know, obviously growing up in California, not a lot of hockey to be played. So I bought it, the cheapest pair of rollerblades I could find, cheapest stick, you know, some knee pads, and went out there with him. And of course, I was horrible, but I loved it. And at the same time, the Kings were on, obviously the Kings were the only team in California at the time. So they were, you know, on the local cable network. It was a statewide thing. So, you know, now, you know, the Sharks are in that Northern California territory. So I wouldn't be able to watch all the Kings games unless I had the dish. But anyway, I really started watching the Kings the season they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, and I was completely sucked in. The playoffs obviously were amazing, and you know it didn't have the Cinderella season ending that I would have liked. But you know, that, from that point on, I knew that this was a sport that I wanted to know more about. I wanted to get into more. And my love, honestly, has just grown every year since then, and to where now, you know, it's my favorite sport, you know, I feel like I'm learning more about it every year, just my knowledge overall of the league, and now starting to actually get an understanding of, you know, some of the junior leagues and things like that, where before I had zero knowledge of. And obviously, I play ice hockey. I've been playing for 9 years and just love it. You know, every Saturday, it's my big release to get out there and go play. And you know, it's a great sport. And you know, my partner Doug Stolan and I are just happy to do our little part if we can to try and, you know, bring more attention to hockey and to the NHL.
That's a pretty. It's kind of an exciting time to be a Kings fan. I saw two games this year. One of them being the, I believe it was 7-6 shootout loss of the Kings to the Atlanta Thrashers, and it was a really exciting high action, high adventure game. I mean, just the speed and the fun that the fans were having. You know, do you feel that this is starting to become an LA Kings team that can be a contender again?
Well, I would say that overall, my general attitude about the team this year and the future is I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, I have a kind of a love-hate relationship when it comes to prospects. while I certainly understand and agree that the way you build a contending organization, you know, a solid organization, not only for a couple of seasons, but for, you know, years and years, is through the draft. It's through scouting and player development and all those types of things. And I think the Kings, and in particular general manager Dean Lombardi, have come in and have done things the right way. They amassed massive amounts of draft picks and just stockpiled the organization with young players to build upon. And, you know, I think that's definitely been the right way to go. But, you know, as fans, we always assume that these guys are all going to turn into great players, where the reality is, of course, there's going to be hits and misses. Mm-hmm. So when you have, you know, a big core group of young players, it's you get excited about it because the potential is, you know, is unlimited. But when you're realistic about it, you know they're not all going to be 30 goal scorers. So it's kind of, you know, you have to temper your enthusiasm with reality.
Yeah.
And so while you see, you know, young guys like maybe a Wayne Simmons, or Oscar Moeller, or some of these younger players that are coming in, and they got a chance to play last year. And Drew Doughty, obviously, is another guy, I thought was definitely a Rookie of the Year candidate. You see these guys, and you I think it's realistic to say they can only get better. But at the same time, like with our goaltending situation, it's certainly, to be determined if one of these young guys is going to step up. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard this on the show, but Doug alludes to it every once in a while. I'm a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, and they've drafted number one for like 14 consecutive years, and they've gotten like one major league player out of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the point is, it's great to be able to, get good young talent every year, or to try and amass a lot of draft picks, but you also have to develop them, and you also have to be realistic about, you know, there are some of these guys that aren't going to turn out to be, you know, the great players you hope they will be. That having been said, yes, it is an exciting time to be a Kings fan. I think there is definitely reason for optimism. I think, you know, this organization has been, pretty much a rudderless ship for a while, with all due respect to Dave Taylor, who is a longtime King and was the general manager for a while and did some good things, but, you know, they couldn't decide, it seemed, whether they wanted to kind of rebuild or, you know, sign free agents to make a run at it this year. And you're in a market where you have fans that are, while loyal, also can be very fickle and fair weather too. Mm. And there's a temptation to try and sign a big name guy and hope that they all jump on board, and, you know, it hasn't really worked out in certain situations. So I like the direction the team is in. I think there's been a lot of talk about this team being a playoff team this year. I would love for that to happen. But I also, like I said, I always try and be, you know, realistic about things. If I see improvement every year, I think I am happy with that. But, I think realistically they should be one of the teams that's battling for one of those final playoff spots in the West. And if they do that the entire season and maybe come up short, I would be okay with it. Obviously, making the playoffs would be a legitimate step forward. And I like I said, cautiously optimistic that they are improving and that they're doing the right things and that eventually it's going to pay off.
Well, General Manager Dean Lombardi said I got a chance to listen in on one of their conference calls to fans, and he said that the Kings had to get young a lot quicker than he anticipated, like at least by a year, if not two, a lot younger than he really expected that to happen. That youth movement didn't pay off last year, but like you say, you're kind of excited about the prospects going future, or, you know, going ahead. Looking at some of these players, I mean, you've got Anze Kopitar, you've got Kyle Quincy, like you mentioned, Drew Doughty. Is there anything that's with those young players that's really exciting you or really making you kind of take a step back from the Kings and go, wait a minute, maybe it's, you know, maybe this is not the time. Maybe that excitement should be tempered for these guys.
Well, I mean, like I said, I think fans are within their right to think that some of the guys who played, some of the really young guys that played on the team last year, like Drew Doughty and Wayne Simmonds and Oscar Moeller and those guys, I think it's realistic to think that they should take a step forward and be better than they were a year ago. But I think also a lot of people are counting on a lot of other players to step forward as well. It's funny because guys like Dustin Brown, who I absolutely love, they're still pretty young players. There's still room to develop. They're kind of just now entering their prime. Andre Kopitar, who had a bit of a disappointing year last year, certainly is still a very young guy, you know, who's now in his third year in the NHL, that I think a lot of people are expecting to step up that game. It's like they're kind of in that situation now where, okay, they've been in the league now. They know what it's all about. They know what it takes to be a pro. Now that learning curve should kind of be over, and it's time to be, you know, a legitimate, you know, solid NHL player. And I think that they're ready to do that. So when you look at their whole roster, for the most part, and they've added a nice mix of some veteran guys, because you got to have those guys who've been through the wars, and when you have a core that's very young, you know, you do need some guys to kind of show them the way as well. So they've added in this offseason, as you know, Ryan Smith obviously has come in. They also brought in the defenseman Rob Scuderi, who just won the Cup with the Penguins. They added Sean O'Donnell last year, another veteran defenseman who's been just fantastic in helping their young defensemen develop. So they put the young core group in place. They've added and sprinkled in some veterans, and I think the next step is to, if they can, try and acquire a marquee forward. You know, but I think Dean Lombardi wants to see, and he's been pretty honest about this the whole time. They're not going to shoot for the moon when they're not ready. He's always said, and he'll have to obviously come through on this promise eventually, that once they get in a position where they feel that they are a legitimate, you know, team that can contend, then it's time to go out and make the big move and get that big marquee guy to be kind of the final piece of the puzzle. Now, that I don't know if he's ready to do that yet this year, but again, if we keep seeing the improvement, if they're a team that either battles for a playoff spot or makes it in to one of those final playoff spots, you know, then we'll see if he comes through on that promise or not. But you know, I think again, he's done a good job. You know, fans are going to be difficult to please because they want to win now, and then you see situations like in Boston or in Philadelphia, where a team's made a big jump from one season to another. It makes you wonder, why can't we do that? But again, like I said, cautiously optimistic. They are doing the right things. They're putting the blocks in place to have a solid foundation. You know, last year was a growing year with the young players. And again, now that they are starting to, you can see it develop, you know, kind of like a painting. They're adding the mix of the veterans now, of guys that just solid kind of guys you need to have on your team. And, you know, hopefully they'll make that next step. And then, well, if his plan follows through, the next step would be, okay, this is a team that can contend. What is that one piece or two that we can bring in to put it over the top? So, like, I can see it starting to develop. Hopefully things will continue. There won't be any major injuries or major setbacks that will kind of slow this plan down. But, yeah, you can see it starting to develop. So there is some excitement and, you know, some optimism here. And I think that there deserves to be.
Yeah. Well, the Ryan Smith trade was obviously big news in my end of the universe, since I'm a diehard Avalanche fan. And I'm kind of wondering how you feel about that move. I mean, it was quite a trade. Ryan Smith for Kyle Quincy, Tom Pricing, and fifth round pick. Do you feel good about the move at all? I mean, how do you feel about it?
I feel great about the move. You know, again, when you're a fan and you see a player come in, a lot of fans will unfortunately think that you're going to get the Ryan Smith, you know, of a few years ago. Now, you know, when he was a consistent 30-goal scorer and, you know, one of the top power forwards in the league,
Yeah. He's
probably not that anymore. But at the same time, he's still, again, when you consider what they have, a young team who is not – this team, the Kings, are not a very physical team. Dustin Brown is one of the leading hitters in the NHL, but he's about it. I mean, they really – don't have, they play hard, which is great, but there is not a lot of physical presence and there's not a lot of grit. And, you know, in the NHL, you need to have that. And I think Ryan Smith brings that, which they haven't had much of. He brings leadership, and obviously a guy who has been through it before. And he brings, you know, that little bit of nastiness and toughness around the net that they really don't have, or they haven't had much of.
But they have skill for days, which is, you know, they need another skill guy, it seems like. They need the experience, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And I think that mix of what Ryan Smith brings, you know, teamed with a guy like Andrei Kopitar or Alexander Frolov, who are total finesse players and who can put the puck in the net, you know, you team him up with some of those type of guys, and I think you get a nice mix. So they didn't give up a lot. Tom Pricing was a disaster here. Unfortunately, he was hurt, and then he just never seemed to fit in, and he was making a lot of money. So Kings fans were thrilled to see him go. He's actually a really nice guy and a really smart guy. I don't know if, you know, coaching is in his future, but you know, the few chances I had to talk to him and to hear him interviewed, I was really impressed with him. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out for him here.
Yeah.
Kyle Quincy, I mean, he's a guy that the Kings got off waivers from Detroit. And so basically we had this guy come in. We didn't give up anything for him. And he led our defenseman in scoring and quarterbacked our power play. So even though we gave up a pretty good player, when you get a guy and you don't give up anything for him, you almost feel like you didn't give up anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, Kyle Quincy was a nice player. They went to Colorado, and again, there are questions now for the Kings who's going to quarterback their power play and things like that. But I really don't think they paid a real high price for a guy that has Ryan Smith's resume. So obviously with any trade or with any veteran guy you bring in, health is always a concern. But if he stays healthy, you know, I think he'll be a 20-goal scorer for the Kings and provide a lot of intangibles that they need.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, at the time, my first thought about Quincy is that he's had a couple of back injuries, which is never a good thing, whether you're younger or older. And that's, you know, you never know how that's going to work out. And you mentioned the who's going to quarterback the power play, and the signing of Rob Scuderi kind of seems to answer that now, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know if that's his role, actually. Yeah. He's more of a stay-at-home defenseman. He's very reliable. He's obviously got a lot of experience in the playoffs, and if you watch the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, he really stood out. And not because he was scoring goals, but because it just, I mean, it's a solid player. And Doug and I talked about these type of players on our show last week that you need, where guys are, they're just responsible defensively. They never make mistakes. They always make the right play. And you just, you know, even my limited playing skills, I know when I've been on the ice with guys like that, it makes everyone better because you don't have to worry about it. You know, you can do your job, and they're going to take care of what they're going to do. Whereas if you have a guy, maybe a defenseman who's a little bit shaky, you're thinking, well, I gotta play a little more defensively because he turns the puck over occasionally, things like that. But a guy like Scuderi, solid, just a veteran, great, you know, postseason experience, does his job well, not spectacular, but, you know, every team needs those kind of guys. They're not necessarily exciting because they're not going to be in the highlight reels, but, I mean, if you know your hockey, you know those guys are invaluable. But I don't know that he's a big quarterback, power play type of a guy. I think that would be a little bit outside of what his comfort zone is. So maybe Drew Doughty takes over that role. I mean, he's 19, but he showed last year, obviously, his maturity and his hockey sense are high for his age. You know, I was real impressed. He certainly had his growing pains and had his moments like any young player is going to have. But I also thought he showed a lot of ability and a lot of mental toughness for someone that young to come in and play a huge role defensively and log the number of minutes he did. You know, I think he led the Kings in ice time, so that obviously says a lot about his ability, and maybe he's ready to take on more responsibility. I don't know. It's still to be determined who's going to be that guy on their power play. You know, maybe they go with four forwards and one defenseman. I don't know, but it's still to be determined how they're going to work that out. That's one of those questions as a Kings fan, we're all waiting to see how it kind of turns out.
Yeah. I kind of want to throw this out at you just you know, a little, not to blindside you or anything, but I've always, when free agency started, and pretty much until the Smith trade, I always thought that maybe Alex Tanguay would be kind of a good signing for, you know, maybe a less expensive signing for the LA Kings. You know, not an older guy, but still has some experience, you know, and a guy looking for a home that maybe may have been a halfway decent fit. Any thoughts on that? Or
I think before the Ryan Smith trade, there were thoughts on that, mm-hmm. that he might be a guy that they would bring in. But since they've made this Ryan Smith deal, I think they're done with their forwards for now. And they're just looking to maybe tinker if the price is right, if you will. And, you know, Tanguay's still out there. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's looking for as far as money, but
yeah, he might be driving too hard of a bargain for most teams right now.
Yeah, if he's willing to come down, then who knows? But yeah, his name was definitely mentioned before Ryan Smith was acquired. But since they've gotten Smith, I don't think that's, I mean, he'd have to kind of weigh down and want to play in L.A., and I doubt that that's something that he wants to do. I'm sure he's looking to, if he's going to take a lower price, he's probably wanting to play for a contending team. Mm. So I don't think that they're looking at him, and I doubt that he's looking at L.A. right now.
Well, the L.A. Kings re-signed Jack Johnson. It was a two-year deal at 1.4 million a year, but Jack Johnson, yeah, well, he played half the season and was a minus 18 in that space. I mean, how do you feel about Jack Johnson? He's kind of a conundrum of a player at this point, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to keep bringing it up, but it's kind of, you know, it's funny. The Kings have these cheesy logos every year, and just like every other team, they have these cheesy like mottos. You know, we play for LA, and you know, whatever, they have a different little slogan every year. I don't even know what it is this year, but you know, for me, my slogan is, again, cautiously optimistic. So that's the way I am with Jack Johnson. He came in with a ton of hype. You know, obviously a number one draft pick of Carolina. He didn't sign there because he wanted to stay at Michigan. They wanted him to come in right away. He didn't want to, so they ended up trading him to the Kings. He ends up signing with the Kings, and, you know, I follow college hockey casually, but I knew about Jack Johnson, and you know, they used to have the T-shirts that they all wore to the Michigan games, JMFJ for Jack Mother Bleeping Johnson. That was because, you know, the whole thing was, if you're an opponent, you're muttering that because he's knocking the hell out of you. And if you're a Michigan fan, you know, it's like, this guy is so awesome. He's unbelievable. And he was. He was a fabulous player at Michigan. He crushed people physically, scored goals, did everything. So, you know, as a Kings fan, you expect to see some of that. Well, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
And there have been some reasons why. I mean, he came in late his first season and just kind of got his feet wet at the end of the year. Didn't show much, but you could understand that he's just coming in his first year in the NHL. Last season, he's hurt, misses most of the year, and so he just was, you know, you never got a chance to see what, we haven't had a chance to see really what this guy can do. So we're all, as Kings fans, keeping our fingers crossed that he stays healthy and just gives us a chance to show what he can do. And right now, I don't know. He didn't show much of a physical presence, which was really disappointing, and this is a Kings team that needs some of that. And, you know, he still has a lot to prove. So hopefully, like I said, he stays healthy and gives us a chance to see if he can do it or not. I think the Kings are unsure. I think that's why he, you know, only got the two-year deal, you know, for not a lot of money. But, you know, right now I could see it going either way. He could either be a huge bust or he could turn into that guy that a lot of people thought he could be, which is a great two-way defenseman. So he has the most to prove for any LA King this year. Is he worth the hype? Was he worth all the excitement or not? You know, at least show us some flashes of it, you know, here and there. He hasn't done it so far. So, you know, we're I think a lot of Kings fans are wanting to see, is this guy for real or not? So he's got the chip on his shoulder. He's got something to prove. Hopefully he comes out and shows us that he is a legitimate player.
Yeah. The biggest question I have this year coming into the next season for the Kings, with all the talent that there is in forward and defense, and you know what, my question is always the goaltending for the Kings. It always seems like Kings is a Hungarian word for burned by goaltending. lately. It's the Cloutier situation. LaBarbera Guerin was supposed to be the big tandem. And now you're looking at another very young and very inexpensive tandem of Quick and Erzberg. I know you brought up goaltending when we first started. Where do you feel the Kings stand with goaltending in all of this?
Well, they remind me of the Chicago Bears, who have been around forever and have never developed a legitimate quarterback. In all the years that they have played, I mean, Jim McMahon was like the closest guy, and he was, you know, he was okay. He was a great college player, but he was just a kind of a guy who was gritty and kind of got it done in the NFL. And you would think, in all those years, wouldn't they have drafted one guy that would have been a Hall of Fame quarterback? And it hasn't happened. In the Kings, it's the same thing. They have never developed a star goaltender ever. I mean, I would say probably their greatest goaltender was Rogie Vachon, and they didn't draft him and come up through the organization, you know, back in the day. You know, Kelly Rudy was successful. He came from the Islanders. I mean, even a guy who, like Felix Potvin, who was moderately successful for the Kings, and they had, you know, the last time they were in the playoffs, he was their goaltender. He came from Toronto, you know, so they have not developed a guy, and it seems like they're hell-bent on finally, you know, having a guy that they drafted that came through their organization that's going to be their number one guy. That's what they're all hoping for. And that guy's Jonathan Bernier. He just turned 21. He was a number one draft pick. And again, you know, you look at a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury, who, you know, had some similar expectations, and he had his up and downs, but he's now a Stanley Cup winning goaltender. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard as a fan when you draft a young goaltender who has received a lot of hype and is a number one guy, not to think he should do that in a few years, or at least be a starter. And Jonathan Bernier has not been able to do that yet. Again, still young, but I think the Kings are keeping their fingers crossed. And when I say the Kings, I think the management is keeping their fingers crossed that he will step up in training camp this year and seize that number one goaltender job. He did have some injury issues last year that hurt him and, you know, prevented him from, you know, giving it, you know, his best at trying to be a number one goalie and make the Kings roster. He didn't do that. And it was a pretty big surprise. Even, you know, we understood the injuries as Kings fans, but, you know, Jonathan Quick was a guy that no one had on their radar, you know, a young goaltender. I think he's 23. But, you know, here he is thrust into the spotlight, and he played pretty well, but he would, you know, this was not the guy we thought was going to be our goaltender, our young goaltender. It's, you know, it's all Jonathan Bernier. So, you know, we're all waiting to see, like with Jeff Johnson, we're waiting to see if Jonathan Bernier is the guy that we all think he can be. You know, I know that, you know, we have Ron Hextall as our assistant general manager, and he's done a lot of work with Bernier, and I think more maybe with the mental side of things and talking to him about his approach to the game and, you know, what you do in the off season, what you do in between games, all that kind of stuff. So that's, you know, it's been I'm sure that's been a nice, you know, resource for the young goaltenders. But, I think they're trying to avoid coming out and saying, you know, Bernier's got to make it this year. He's, you know, we're waiting on him. We spent a number one draft pick on him. You know, is this the year he's going to make the team? They don't want to do that. They don't want to put all this pressure on him. But I think, you know, behind closed doors, they're really hoping, again, that in training camp he steps up and becomes the number one goaltender, and, you know, that they can start to feel that, okay, we have a number one young goaltender in place that can grow with our young nucleus as well. Mm-hmm. And if he comes in and flops, and just, you know, I'd like to say that doesn't end his, you know, chances, you know, but if he came in and just laid an egg, you know, and they got to go to Jonathan Quick, who I think is a nice young goalie, but I don't think he's a number one goaltender in the NHL. That's obviously going to be a big concern. And obviously, like you said, goaltending is going to be the key to any team being successful. Cautiously optimistic. Have you heard that before?
I think that should be the slogan for the Kings this year. Yeah.
I don't know if that'll look great on a T-shirt, but or on a bus. You know,
you put like it on a good font. You put Danze Kopitar's face next to it. You know, you'll be fine.
But no, you know, he again, there was a reason why he was a number one draft pick. You know, obviously he showed a lot of ability at a young age. Now he just needs to take that next step. And again, that's one of the other big questions in training camp for the Kings. Is he going to stay healthy and be ready to give it a shot? Again, it's been kind of quiet. I think, again, with fans and management, they're all, they don't want to, you know, come out and say he's got to make it this year. But I think in the back of our minds, we're thinking it's time for him to take a step and at least make the team, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying the guy's going to come up and win the Rookie of the Year. I'm just saying make the team, be a guy who can come in and you know, show flashes. You know, you're a young goaltender. You're going to have your growing pains. But, you know, it's time to make the team and be the guy that they think they can build around in net for years to come.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking around your division right now, and just thinking about what the other teams in your division are looking like. And the San Jose Sharks are pretty much at a standstill. I can't really say that the Ducks necessarily got better. There's all the trauma going on in Phoenix, which I want to talk to you about a little bit. And the Dallas Stars are kind of they had their wacky season last year, so it's hard to say what they're looking like. From a divisional standpoint, things look pretty good for the Kings this year.
Well, I mean, I'm
cautiously
not
optimistic.
It
I understand.
I'm not say it again. I think San Jose, despite the fact that you know, people in Northern California are, you know, very unhappy with the way last season ended, and very unhappy so far with the lack of off-season changes that they've made, they're still the reigning President's Trophy winner, and they're still clearly, I think, the team in the division to beat. I think the Ducks are going to be pretty good next year. Now, they've kind of put a lot of eggs in one basket for one season. They're going to have some interesting questions to answer after this year, but I think Anaheim is the solid number two team, and then you've got Dallas, Phoenix, and L.A., you know, I think the third place team in the Pacific should be battling for one of those final playoff spots. I don't know what's going on in Dallas. You know, they've got the coaching change. You know, they had a really, I mean, they had so many injuries last year. You know, they have question marks. Phoenix, oh my gosh.
Where do you begin? Yeah.
Yeah, really. I mean, on the one hand, you think, okay, well, when the guys get on the ice, they're not going to be thinking about all the other stuff. But there's no, you look at the Kings going into the season, and there's an aura of optimism. You know, you feel kind of good about what the expectations are, and that's something that can be a possibility. You know, what's surrounding the Coyotes? Where are we going to play?
Yeah.
What's our future here? Is anyone going to show up and watch this team? You know, it's who's going to be our coach? Is Gretzky going to be gone? There's so many question marks and just uncertainty surrounding that organization. It's hard for me to believe that doesn't carry over in some way to the players. So, I think Phoenix is going to be in for a very tough year. So, you know, I think Anaheim and San Jose are clearly the top two, but I think that third slot is clearly up for grabs, and I think that's where the Kings, you know, should be. You know, if not battling maybe Dallas for that number three spot, you know, close. I mean, they finished 4 points behind Dallas last year in last place, tied for last place in points in the division with Phoenix. So again, if they take that next step, which a lot of people seem to think the Kings will, like I said, I think it's realistic to think third place in the division. And battling for, you know, the 7-8 playoff spot.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think that I think the Kings absolutely have a shot of making the playoffs next year. I mean, they finished 14th, but they still finished ahead of the Colorado Avalanche, and so it's it'll be interesting.
A lot of teams did.
Yeah, every team. Oh well, almost every team did. Every team. I know on the Puck Podcast, you've been following the Coyotes situation a lot, and there's just been so much information coming down the line. It's almost staggering how much is happening that seemed like it was going to be a very quick resolution at first, with Balsillie swooping in and maybe taking the team with him. How do you feel about Phoenix right now? I mean, what is there anything that do you feel that maybe Reisendorf is going to get the bid? Do you think that this is all kind of, I don't know, a bit of a crazy dance that's going to leave all the fans hurting at this point? I mean, what are your overall impressions at this point of the Coyotes situation?
Well, I mean, there's no way you could say that all this stuff has been positive for hockey in Phoenix, you know, in the present. You know, the future, who knows? You know, I'm not a bankruptcy court judge. I don't know what our Redfield T. Balm is going to do, you know, but it certainly seems to me, obviously the NHL clearly wants the team to stay there. They overwhelmingly rejected Jim Bolselli, I think rightfully so. And Jerry Reinsdorf is a guy who, I mean, he's a owner of a World Series team, championship team in baseball. He's the owner of an NBA championship team in basketball. So clearly, he's a stable guy. You know that he's done this before. He's run teams that have been successful, and he has a good track record. You know, Jim Bolselli, while he's throwing a ton of money at a team that's obviously in need of a lot of money to pay off all of its debts and everything, I think the guy's a snake, frankly. I mean, the things he's tried to do to get a team have all been, underhanded. I mean, he's been so brash about it. It's really staggering. And the thing that cracked me up this week is that, some of the owners have come out and said, you know, we don't trust him. And I think, absolutely. Why would you? Mm-hmm. And particularly if you've read some of the things that have come out in Nashville, what Jim Bolselli and his lawyers were doing behind the scenes to undermine the Nashville Predators is just unbelievable. So, I can't see him getting this team. I can't see him being an owner in the NHL. But he came out this week and he said, I would like to question these owners as to why, and take depositions in court as to why they think I'm untrustworthy. And I'm like, oh, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, do you really want to go down that road?
No, you don't want, do you really want them in court to say, yeah, you had your lawyers, you know, go to the city of Nashville and ask them to investigate the lease, and, you sold tickets to Hamilton Predators games before you even owned the team. You tried to go around the NHL's back to get the Penguins and move them. You come in, you say, I'm going to buy the team. You have no intention of telling them you're going to move them, and you tried to kind of, get a foothold in there before. They finally said, you're not moving the team, right? And then he said, well, maybe. And then they said, well, no, then you're not going to buy the team. We're not going to approve you to purchase the Penguins. And then he totally backs out. So, I'm not a businessman. Clearly, he's made a ton of money in the business world. And, I don't know I would have to assume he's a pretty smart businessman, or at least he knows how to work things. But I would not want him, if I was a fan, to be the owner of my team. I think the people in Hamilton are so, wrapped around the fact that we might get an NHL team that they're completely willing to get into bed with anybody over it. I think that if that were to happen, which I don't think it will, they would regret it in a big way. He's a guy who has shown he's not willing to, go the proper route to get things done. He wants to do it his way, behind the scenes, dirty, if you will, dirty tactics or something he's not afraid to use. And so I think in the end, I got to believe that Jerry Reinsdorf will be the owner of this team. I think that means Wayne Gretzky's out. Where it goes from there for Phoenix, I don't know. We've said all along on our show that, people who say it won't work in Phoenix, they just needed to get a good team on the ice and people will show up. Mm-hmm. Can they do that in the near future? They can. Will they? I don't know. But until they get a good product on the ice and win games and be a team that can make the playoffs, it's not going to succeed. So when it's all said and done, Phoenix has got to get a good team together, and it's entertainment. People in Phoenix aren't going to just pay to show up. If you give them a good product, they'll show up, but if you don't, they won't. Mm-hmm. And especially in these times, that's just the way it is. And so, you know, again, in the end, I think it all plays out where Bolselli does not get the team. Reinsdorf does. They stay in Phoenix for at least the near future. And hopefully for their sake, they can, you know, turn things around on the ice, and that will facilitate them turning things around, you know, as far as the money they make and those types of things.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. I'm sure that the Kings are still going to be playing Phoenix next season. And, you know, I'm sure they won't be moving that quickly, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. It should be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if you take away all of the shadiness surrounding Jim Bolselli, do you think the NHL is going to move a team now at this point, you know, change the schedule, the travel, the team's going to change their travel, you know? I mean, it would be a nightmare. There's no way it could happen at this point. So, you know, there's a lot of things working against Jim Bolselli, other than just himself and his reputation. So I just can't see it happening. But, again, I'm no judge. You know, I'm no lawyer. We'll see how it plays out. But I would be really surprised if Jim Bolselli were to get this team.
Yeah, if you were a judge or a lawyer, you'd probably get a lot of work out there right now. Seems like there's so many lawyers involved right now, it's hard to keep track of all the players.
No, you're right. Every day something else comes out.
Yeah.
So. I get sick of – it's kind of – you know, it's one of those things where I get sick of reading about it, but at the same time, it's kind of like a car wreck. You can't help but look, you know, so
–
Yeah, it's certainly been the dominant story so far in the off season.
I didn't think it was going to last as long or be as drawn out as it has been, but yeah. And if I were a creditor, I'd be keeping my eyes peeled on them. It's interesting.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, Eddie, thank you so much for coming onto the rink and talking to me, especially about the Kings. As I try and find out more about the teams from the fans who actually, you know, get a chance to be more involved with them and watch them. Your podcast is the Puck Podcast at www.puckpodcast.com. You've been going 3 years now. You guys do a great job on it. Have amazing guests. I wish I could get the guests that you guys have on your podcast. It's just really impressive.
Well, thank you, obviously. You know, I appreciate the support, obviously, of everyone out there. And, you know, we talked a little bit before we started the interview about podcasting and how it's, you know, it's starting to become something that is a very legitimate option for people, you know, as far as how they get their information and their entertainment. And it's been fun to be a part of it, and it's been enjoyable to meet, you know, other podcasters like yourself. And, you know, I certainly wish you all the best of luck with what you're doing. And if we can support each other in any way, I'm all for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to have you on again. Maybe when the season starts, we'll see how things are starting out. Puck Podcast at www.puckpodcast.com. Definitely check it out. Search for it on iTunes. Find it on the web, and definitely stick it in your iPod. Eddie, thank you so much.
James, thank you. I appreciate it, and I'd be more than happy to do it anytime.
Thanks a lot for listening to The Rink. You can always find The Rink at www.rinkpodcast.com, where you can find out how to subscribe in iTunes, post comments about any of the episodes you hear, and even see what I use to record The Rink. You can call The Rink at 845-704-RINK. That's 845-704-7465. And you can always email us at rink@rinkpodcast.com. Thanks a lot for listening to The Rink.